We've got breaking news. ICE raid captures major gang leader.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes joining us in studio as well. Give us a call if you have a question or comment at 1-800-684-3110. If you're joining us live on any social media platform or on our podcast feed, make sure you're subscribing, liking, doing all of that. Of course, the breaking news coming we're going to discuss here is about one of the big captures that's already happened during the Trump administration. We also are following the current questioning of HHS Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We'll break in if necessary, if we feel like it's something we should cover, but we are watching it and monitoring it, so make sure to stay tuned for that. Obviously, we are hopeful that he'll get confirmed. And then tomorrow begins the confirmation process for our friend, our colleague, who has been kind of viciously run through the last couple days, Tulsi Gabbard. So I'm going to ask you to say a prayer for not just for everyone up for it, but specifically because we work with her and we've seen her in reality. I've had real conversations with her. Definitely say a prayer for her and her family as they go through this confirmation process. Again, as I said, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. But Will, we want to go first to this breaking news item, which is one of the top Venezuelan gang members has been captured due to really the Trump administration's new plans.
That's right. And this is a what they are calling a ringleader of the Tren de Aragua gang. This is that Venezuelan gang you heard a lot about on the campaign trail. This is the same gang that was terrorizing communities in Colorado, taking over apartment complexes. So it's gotten a lot of attention as these members of these gangs have exploited the migrant flows at the southern border to infiltrate deeper within the United States. We know that they are in major cities across the United States and some not as major cities as you look at some of the patterns of how they take hold. But this individual was arrested in New York City. It's 26-year-old Pacheco, and he was arrested early Tuesday morning by ICE and the DEA in the Bronx. He is wanted in Colorado, in Aurora, Colorado, on felony warrants that stem from some of those images you saw where he and other gang members were trying to break into different apartments. There's some kidnapping charges, I believe, that are alleged as well. But it just goes to show that when the administration cares about actually living up to the promises of the campaign trail and securing the borders and the internal cities of the United States, it's not as hard as the Biden administration made it out to be because they had a different agenda. It's actually the ICE agents have been doing their job. They weren't allowed to fulfill that mission.
Right.
And now they are. And look how swiftly they are bringing this down.
And a lot of this came from a doorbell camera that captured them and five other men at this complex, as Will said, breaking in. Again, something to kind of think about when you're installing these cameras is what they could be used for, whether good or bad. But think about that as you have cameras and sort of everyone starts to have cameras throughout their neighborhoods, their houses. Obviously, we saw with the murder of the healthcare executive how much surveillance cameras are happening and how that was able to be tracked in New York City. But it's happening in a lot of places. And again, for good or for bad, you could kind of take it either way. And I know that that is something. Look, I even was speaking with a police officer who told me that they were able to get footage from a Tesla that just has the cameras around the side for the self-driving elements. They were able to get that footage to prove a crime. It's pretty wild. It's a pretty wild time. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You know, there are a lot of things happening right now. We're going to be covering them coming up. If you have questions or comments related to what we just discussed about the ringleader being busted, about Tulsi Gabbard's nomination, about RFK's nomination and their current confirmation hearings, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. And support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org. If you have the opportunity, become an ACLJ champion today. That's someone that gives as a monthly recurring donor. I know that we really appreciate it as we prepare to file key legal battles throughout the country to make sure that we are stopping the flow of millions of dollars to places they don't need to be, and support your values. We'll discuss a little bit more about that coming up. Welcome back to Secula. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, to restate, Will, what's going on? I think we should do this, and we're going to take a call about it. You've maybe saw the breaking news headline. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, you're just joining us right now, and that's that that ICE, in just this week, has captured a major gang leader. This is someone who was wanted in Aurora, Colorado, but was picked up in New York City.
That's right. So this is an individual that was wanted, was actually seen on footage that was shown widely during the campaign. Mm-hmm. During
that Ring doorbell kind of style
footage. Exactly. At an apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado, this is when the big story came out that this gang was taking over apartment complexes. And the liberal media tried to push back and say, oh, it's not really happening. There was that famous exchange with J.D. Vance on one of the Sunday shows of the host asking him, well, really, we're seeing it's only one or two. And he's like, do you hear yourself? You're saying it's okay that one or two apartment top complexes level in the middle of the country are taken over by a violent Venezuelan gang that is exploiting the poorest southern border to get here and take a foothold. Now we know that this individual was caught in the Bronx. They caught this individual trying to carry out a weapons exchange, an illegal one. There's reports that he was trying to obtain hand grenades, which is not something I think you're wanting to do anything positive with.
Yeah, I don't know if
in
there's
the world,
a legal version of
sure,
that.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. Especially if you're in New York City, they have very tight restrictions on what kind of arms you can
grenades?
Carry.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an open grenade carry state. But all that to say, I think that you are now seeing the fruit of what was campaigned upon by this administration, getting people in place. We have a DHS secretary now confirmed. She can get her deputies confirmed as well. And you're seeing they are already hitting the ground running, allowing the agencies to do the work that they were clamoring for. And remember, it was the Border Patrol Agents Union supported President Trump. The individuals that work these jobs actually want to do the work of their job. And we see that they were doing as much as they were allowed because they know exactly where to go get many of these most heinous actors that are available in the country, that have been able to roam freely, move from Colorado to New York, where you're wanted on federal crimes in Colorado, able to get all the way to the Bronx. That just shows that the administration prior was not allowing these individuals to do their job and take these people into custody and ultimately get them out of our country.
We are also following the confirmation hearing of RFK Jr. that's happening right now. Bernie Sanders right now. Let's see what Bernie Sanders is saying. Kind of look and just make sure we're monitoring that. I'm just curious because Bernie Sanders is someone that I feel like pre-Trump RFK would probably have been more on his side. And I'm curious what he's asking. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Robert's calling in Maryland on line one. Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to know if you could repeat the name of the Venezuelan gang leader that was taken into custody and apprehended by ICE in the Bronx, New York, who was wanted on felony federal charges in Aurora, Colorado. And the second question I have is, how many executive orders has President Trump signed, pro-life executive orders, protecting babies, that rescind baby kill and pro-abortion executive orders that President Biden put in?
Sure. Yeah, I want to tell you, it's Anderson Zambrano Pacheco, who's 26 years old, again, arrested in New York City. So if you want to know names and find out information about the gang that they were involved in, you could find that. There's plenty of it online. I did want to address the pro-life things. People have asked about that. Obviously, one of the first ones was, not only did he pardon a lot of the pro-life protesters who were unjustly arrested, you also had the reversal of the Mexico City policy.
Yeah,
reinstating
that,
it. Right. Yeah, so reinstating the Mexico City policy, the one that kind of flip-flops that ends funding of abortions outside of our own country, so stops international fundings of abortion. Is there anything else that has happened so far?
Yeah, so he also directed, there's two others that kind of fall within this category. One is very important. It's the Hyde Amendment. It directing the government agencies to make sure they follow the law. That is something that the Biden administration, through clever accounting and many other ways that groups like Planned Parenthood end up with your taxpayer dollars offsetting cost of abortions. He has reiterated that the U.S. government, the executive branch, will follow the law of the Hyde Amendment to ensure that American taxpayers are not paying for abortions. There was another executive order that also referenced life at conception, which is a kind of went under the radar because it wasn't directly a pro-life order, but even the language used within it talked about the sanctity of life and it beginning before the birth of the child. And so I think that's another one that's it's overlooked a little bit, but there's language within some of these executive orders that are once again promoting a culture of life and leading from that angle that you definitely did not have the last four years.
And it's become a pretty top topic even for RFK right now. They've brought up his stance on abortion, whether that's Republicans saying you're a little too liberal on your stance, or that is liberals saying you've gone too far. As we know, he's someone who has spoken pretty highly on having his mind changed after really looking at the science and the data. I think we have to be encouraged when people actually look at what's happening in that industry financially, and then look what's happening also from a medical standpoint, and then you'll have some real hearts and minds change. I think that's possibly what happened with RFK Jr. He does think we should keep it to the states, as President Trump has stated. Whether you agree with that or not, that's, you know, you can handle that however you want. But I know it has been a top topic, but they've also discussed the defunding of Planned Parenthood in a way that really hasn't been talked about in modern history, where we've seen people, you know, it comes up and we've talked about it plenty of times, but when your top leaders are saying we're going to do it, and we're going to do it pretty quickly. So hopefully that comes. Let's continue on. Let's take another call. Brian's calling from Virginia, who is watching on the Salem News Channel, which, by the way, our new live home. We've been on it for about a year, but now we are live on the Salem News Channel. If you can get that on a lot of your smart TVs, on Pluto for free, you can get it on Samsung Plus. It's available in a lot of different places. Great lineup there on Salem News Channel. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? And thank you for taking my call. You know, when it comes to these immigrants, whether they're even dreamers and catch release, asylum seekers, whether they're here legally or illegally, if they fail to register for the draft once they're in this country for 30 days, then they have committed a felony. And so that's every reason to go and question every single person who fits the profile of not belonging here.
Brian, I think we got your point here.
Here to the point of what Brian is also saying is that, once again, President Trump is ending catch and release. Asylum has been abused under the Biden administration. There is a legal process that we believe should happen. There are legitimate asylum cases where people are fleeing political persecution, religious persecution. But the way it's been expanded and used as a cover for allowing illegal immigration under the Biden administration is not okay. That is not the use or the tool of asylum seekers. And therefore, it is actually hurting those that deserve true asylum in the United States and going through that process. But also, Carolyn Leavitt, she brought up yesterday at the briefing something very similar to Brian's comment, and I think we should play it for everyone. It was refreshing to have her at the podium yesterday.
For you people who don't know, this is your new press secretary. This is the first time that she had gone up there, and she revealed a lot of interesting information. The first thing she said was, hey, by the way, all those drones, those were FAA approved under the Biden administration. They didn't tell you that, but you know they could have. So you know what? Got that one out of the way. And then had some other very interesting ones that the DOGE department has uncovered. We'll talk about those a little bit later in the broadcast. They're pretty shocking, wild stuff. So we'll discuss that coming up. But let's hear from Carolyn Leavitt again in their first press briefing.
Of the 3,500 arrests ICE has made so far since President Trump came back into office, can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws and therefore they are criminals as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
You may have been one of the worst first. They all have a criminal record.
And welcome to the briefing.
If they broke our nation's laws, yes, they are a criminal.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go. If they broke our nation's law, they're criminal. That is the stance of the Trump administration. And look, here at the ACLJ, we've been calling for immigration reform for years and years and years. Because look, we are a country of immigrants. I'm a family of immigrants. We believe in the correct and legal way. And we believe in a different way because we think it is a mess. And it has always been a mess. The problem you had is no one took action. And then you had a Biden administration that let things get to the point where we have to have this point, where they have to be going and finding the criminals and deporting and doing the things that, yes, sometimes do not feel like the Christian compassionate thing to do. But if you break the law in this country, it's gotten out of hand, unfortunately. calling for years and years of immigration reform. Republicans have done it, and no one's listening from the left, it seems like, at all. And now it's out of control, and you have to have these very sometimes sad moments where you have to take care of this, because then you find that there are criminals who have been doing some very bad things within our own country, and we're pretty quickly and easily able to locate. I think that's part of the crazy moment of this, is how quickly all of this could be taken care of if you let the people who have these jobs do their jobs. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell's joining us in the next segment, so you want to stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about the confirmation hearings of RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard that comes up tomorrow. Again, our friend that I've asked you before, I'm going to ask you again, say a prayer for her. I know it's going to be a tough time, so say a prayer for her. You've heard her on this broadcast for the last few years, and has been a great friend and a great voice, it's really unfortunate the way they have treated her. So, say a prayer for her and support the work of the ACLJ when you can at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Rick Grinnell's joining us live on the phone. So, Rick, obviously these big confirmation hearings are happening this week, including now, happening right now as we speak. The senators are questioning RFK Jr. for his potential confirmation as HHS secretary. And then tomorrow for Director of National Intelligence, our friend Tulsi Gabbard. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, as really it seems like the unhinged attacks have started rapidly coming out for both of them.
Yeah, look, we signed a letter. We in the international intelligence community signed a letter saying that Tulsi deserves support. I can't think of somebody better than Tulsi Gabbard. She's somebody who has demonstrated that she knows how to ask tough questions to people in power. And that's what I think we want from the intelligence agencies, is people who are not biased, but who ask difficult questions. And I think that Tulsi is somebody who has demonstrated a thoughtfulness towards policy. She is clearly not partisan. And she's just filled with common sense. When you talk to her, you recognize that she is really somebody connected to the American people, because she just talks with common sense. And I think that that's what we want in the intelligence community. Certainly, I know the job of DNI, and Tulsi is going to be a phenomenal DNI. We need to support her.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. And that's something I think we need to bring up. In my conversations with Tulsi over the years, before she was a Republican, before she had completely changed, I think she was an independent at that point. When I was talking with her, one of the things that we always said was, people in our age demographic, because she's very similar, a couple of years older than me, I think, we just want people that we at least know are at least telling the truth and are saying the truth that at least they believe, that aren't coming from, like you said, some political partisan way. It is just being honest with the American people, whether you agree with them or disagree with them on policy. You just want honesty. And that is something that she, as a director of national intelligence, could really bring. And I said this yesterday on social media, which I don't really typically take a lot of on my personal social media, a lot of what you'd say political stances. A lot of it's just fun family stuff. But the attacks were getting so vicious of someone that we know and someone we've considered a colleague and a friend, that I felt like I needed to, which, because this isn't political, they're going after things that are either out of her control, things that are just blatantly not true. And then a few of them are attacks on faith, and it's really unfortunate, Will.
And Rick, I had a question for you, because hopefully you can help me. I'm having a really hard time figuring this one out. So I see this letter that you signed with other former intelligence members, and I don't see the mainstream media showing it like, look, it's the gospel truth that's coming from former intel members. But that's what they seem to typically do whenever an agenda driven letter comes out and it supports a Democrat. Why aren't they running and saying, look, it's former intel members, so we have to go ahead and confirm Tulsi Gabbard? What's the difference here?
Well, it's the difference between Washington, D.C. and the rest of the country. Washington, D.C. types, I think, are just partisan. This just goes back to what I was saying previously, and I think what Logan was touching on, which is the transparency and truthfulness. Inherent in the idea of being truthful is someone who is looking for the truth, is asking the right questions, is not just taking what someone else says and repeating it and recycling it, but using your mind to say, wait a minute, I have some questions about what you're saying. This is what I don't understand, or this doesn't make sense. And so you need someone, in order to be truthful, you need somebody who's curious and somebody who's filled with common sense. Because otherwise you just get the knee-jerk reaction of a partisan who says, I'm going to say this because I saw this as my talking point. That is not Tulsi. Tulsi is somebody who is filled with common sense and doesn't have a problem politely pushing back and saying, wait a minute, I don't understand that. Here's my question. And to me, knowing the intelligence community like I do, knowing the job of DNI, that's exactly what we want.
Absolutely. And when I looked at, you know, when we brought Tulsi on a couple of years ago, bring you on again as people who can commentate and talk about what's happening in the news and really discuss be on air colleagues, one of the big things for Tulsi, I thought that as well, which was you are going to get a different perspective, but one that, you know, one of the key things I've always said about this show, unlike a lot of, you'd say, I guess, in the conservative world or in the Christian conservative world, is I and the host of this show tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not, and whether you like it or not. Sometimes you just have to be honest with your audience. That's what we want. And Tulsi, that's what we got. Sometimes we would disagree with her. We would have people on this show that we would disagree with. That's part of it. But you know what? You were getting their honest reaction, as you said, not this sort of partisan take that was overwhelming. Part of the reasons why she left the Democrat Party was, of course, she had her own views, and that was not good enough. It was too bad that she had some feelings that may have been a little bit more moderate. You know, it had to be specifically at that time, and right now, you have to be so far to the left to be accepted.
Yeah, look, I grew up in a household where my dad would say, you know, shut up and sit down and listen. You might learn something. And so it was drilled into me to sit and listen, to calculate what was being said, to process it, and then come up with my own questions or pushback. But inherent in that is also to sit quietly and listen and to have an exchange. That is gone from today's Democratic Party. The reality is that they have tried to crush dissent. They've tried to call it disinformation when it's simply dissenting information. And Tulsi recognized it. She spoke up to the powers at be. And you've got to give her credit for being able to take on her own party and to take on the Republican Party when appropriate. I like her. I like her fight. I like her politeness and her brave, courageous pushbacks. I really hope that she's confirmed.
If we all do, we'll be watching that tomorrow as she begins her confirmation process. Of course, RFK is doing it now. Thank you, Rick, for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on. And like, as someone who was a former director of national intelligence that gets to come on this broadcast, and as someone who is doing some incredible things already that I'm sure he can't wait to share for you, it's really awesome to always have Rick a part of this broadcast. If you want to call in, this is a great time to do it because we will be taking your calls coming up. 1-800-684-3110. If you have a question about the confirmation process, if you have a question about the ICE raid that happened where the major gang leaders were arrested, or if you have a question or comment on any of these topics, or give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us on your local station for the full hour, I encourage you to watch on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, or find us on the Salem News Channel, broadcasting live each day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, you can pick it up later on, archived or on the podcast feed. Make sure you do that. You can find all of it at ACLJ.org. And while you're there, if you can and you like what we do, I encourage you to become an ACLJ supporter, make a one-time donation, or become an ACLJ champion. That is someone that gives automatically on a recurring basis. You obviously can cancel anytime. It's all tax deductible. But if you care about the issues that we care about, help us get that great baseline. Become an ACLJ champion today. Help us defend your beliefs right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Again, a second half hour of the broadcast coming up, so don't go anywhere. Phone lines, as I said, are open at 1-800-684-3110. In the next half hour, man, there is some funding that's been going on that you are not going to believe. And President Trump and the new DOGE department quickly exposed it and took care of it. But, I mean, there are things that you are going to be shocked to hear. And that's coming up in the second half hour of Seculo. So stay tuned. Again, ACLJ.org to support our work. Give us a call. This break's very short. So don't go anywhere. Less than a minute. We will be back.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are filling up. If you want to call in, this is a great time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us on YouTube, Rumble, on Over the Air Radio, or Sirius XM, however it is, Salem News Channel, I did want to restate a bit of our top line topic, and then we're going to move on because there is some wild stuff that we could talk about, mainly in the second half hour, just due to the networks that we are on and all of that. And you're not going to want to miss this. It's coming up. You want to know where your taxpayer money is going? You will be shocked. Again, phone lines are open, though, for you at 1-800-684-3110. Will, let's give a brief reminder of what happened, the breaking news that was happening. Of course, our headlines breaking that the ICE department has raided. We've seen what they've been doing. They've been arresting people all over. A lot of criminals, and we mean violent criminals. We're talking about gang leaders, and this is what happened. A major gang leader was arrested in New York City. This is someone who had been wanted for quite some time.
That's right. So this is Anderson Zambrano Pacheco, 26 years old, a member of the Tren de Aragua gang, which is a Venezuelan gang that's been exploiting the porous southern border under the Biden administration for years to establish a foothold in America. This is a newer phenomenon. We've heard about MS-13, the Salvadorian gang that was prominent, came to prominence in the United States during the Obama administration. And then President Trump tried with so much that went on in 2016. There was effective measures put in place to stem the flow of illegal migration and to go after the bad actors. This is such a different presidency because you don't have from the gate the FBI investigating the president of the United States. We have to remember that. When President Trump took office in early 2017, the FBI under James Comey was sending agents to investigate him and members of his cabinet. So everything they were trying to get done was being hamstrung by the FBI, by the investigations, by the media calling the Russia hoax and spreading that like wildfire. That isn't happening now. They are fulfilling campaign promises at breakneck speed because it is so much more liberated from what was going on in 2016. They are more focused. They are more driven. And they are not going to mess around. They are going to get things done. And that's what you're seeing when someone who was wanted in Colorado made his way to the Bronx under the Biden administration. This is an individual that was pretty well known, not by name, but by imagery during the campaign because they were taking over apartment complexes
right.
in Aurora, Colorado.
Right, we heard about that a lot. And a lot of people were kind of discrediting that.
Right.
Saying, it was just one or two apartment complexes. As not that big of a deal.
Right.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to discuss that and keep that going. If you got a question about that, you can give us a call, put your comment in. If you don't know what to comment, you're like on YouTube or Rumble and you're like, "All right, Logan, I'm just watching. I got nothing to comment." It really helps us to have comments, to have thumbs ups, to have subscribe buttons hit, to have the alert button hit. All those things get this message into more people's hands because it helps us with YouTube and with Rumble. So I encourage you right now to do one of those things or all of them. So let's start with, hey, how about hit the thumbs up? That's an easy way to do it if you're watching on YouTube. When you're done with that, if you don't have anything to say, tell me where you're watching from. I love to see that in the, especially while we take a break. I'll read through all the places you guys are watching. Sometimes it's all over the country. Sometimes it's all over the world. So do that, even if you're watching this later on. Know how much we appreciate it. I am going to encourage you, though, not only to support the work of the ACLJ, but support our friend Tulsi Gabbard, as tomorrow her confirmation hearings begin. RFK Jr.'s confirmation hearing has started. It is happening right now as we speak. We're monitoring it to see if there's anything worth breaking in to. But in the next segment, you may be wondering what that Department of Government Efficiency, what have they uncovered already just a week in, and you're not going to want to miss this. It is not going to be super fun to hear where your taxpayer dollars are going. Sadly, we live in a world where you can't be surprised by much, but I think this one you will be. And I see some of you in the comments already know where I'm going. Now, if you are listening with little children, may encourage you to, you know, use your best discretion. Because we're going to talk about, it's a little sensitive, a little strange, but you know what? You got to hear it. You have to hear it. So it's coming up again, ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Give a donation, become an ACLJ champion if you can. And check out the great free content we provide at absolutely no cost. ACLJ.org. Be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your calls coming up in this segment and later on. So give us a call right now. Great time to kind of get in line at 1-800-684-3110, because I love taking your calls to wrap up the show, because then we'll hear from people like Rick Grenell, former director of national intelligence. So we'd hear from people like Tulsi Gabbard, whose confirmation hearing for director of national intelligence is tomorrow. The most important voice in the room is always you, the listener and the viewer, because with you, we know what you want. You know, it's really important to hear where you stand on all of these important issues of the day. Now, one of the big things coming out of this Trump administration, and one of the ones that I believe swung a lot of people to vote for President Trump this time, was the newly instated Department of Government Efficiency, which is, of course, headed up by Elon Musk. And it's been an important thing to go through and find out where the waste is happening. We are only a week and a day in President Trump's his term in office. And they've already uncovered some pretty wild stuff. As I said earlier, this is not going to be the most super family-friendly content. It's not bad. It's not dirty or offensive. But if you are watching with kids, I wanted to give you an update before we went there. But I'm going to let you first hear it from our new press secretary herself, because this was brought up immediately. And of course, Will, the ACLJ is going to get involved. You're going to hear two things. The first one, you're going to be like, oh, court case, that, of course, that makes sense. This has to do with the World Health Organization. That's not the one that I'm saying is controversial. We know that's coming, and the ACLJ is getting involved in that.
That's right. Well, regardless of what the president wants to do, the left is going to try to sue to stop it. And the president has issued many orders on the freeze of hiring, the freeze of spending, while they go through and look line by line at where the taxpayer money is going. We know that a court last night already has put in place a temporary stay on his order on the domestic spending side. We're going to talk about some of the foreign spending here in a minute, but you know that they're just trying to find a plaintiff at this point, right, to try and sue that as well. But this comes from individuals that are getting grants, organizations that get grants, that get money from the taxpayers, that are upset that there has been a freeze on spending. And when you go through the list of that, it's absurd. Some of the million-dollar grants they're handing out like candy to groups in the United States for studies that are going to affect no one.
Right. Just true waste.
But they are now blocking him from implementing that spending, so forcing him to continue to spend the money. The ACLJ, our lawyers are already on it. I've seen memos already, and we are going to engage that and fight to ensure that the president and the administration can do the job the American people want them to do, cut wasteful spending, stop wasting our dollars on such ridiculous programs and studies that do nothing for anyone.
All right, so let's hear from our new press secretary, Leavitt. You're going to first hear a reporter. And again, she's going to talk about the World Health Organization, but just keep listening. This is about a minute-long clip, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Go ahead.
Impose this pause with so little notice? Why not give organizations more time to plan for the fact that they are about to lose, in some cases, really crucial federal funding,
at least for
a period of time?
There was notice. It was the executive order that the president signed. There's also a freeze on hiring, as you know, a regulatory freeze, and there's also a freeze on foreign aid. And this is, again, incredibly important to ensure that this administration is taking into consideration how hard the American people are working. And their tax dollars actually matter to this administration. You know, just during this pause, DOGE and OMB have actually found that there was $37 million that was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization, which is an organization, as you all know, that President Trump, with the swipe of his pen and that executive order, is no longer wants the United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's agenda. DOGE and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money.
So there you have it. $50 million of U.S. taxpayer money. And where was it going? It was going for condoms in Gaza. Again, $50 million. There's not that many people okay, in that area. So the fact that you were sending any is ridiculous, but $50 million just shows where the government waste is. And by the way, what have we also known for many years happens in Gaza? They use those for IED carrying to make them into balloons. That is what the one of the big uses has always been in that region, to carry them into southern Jerusalem and to go southern Israel. And you see what happens over schoolyards, over all of this. This is another one of those really shocking moments. It shouldn't be shocking to any of us, but this is what we're funding. We are funding, let's just take it on like its base level, like they aren't using them as bombs or as ways you could infiltrate. You are spending $50 million taxpayer dollars for birth control, if you will, for residents of Gaza.
That's right. And it's so infuriating that this is where the priorities of the Biden administration, as they took their support away from Israel and increased line items like $50 million in this way of our taxpayer money, it's so infuriating. We knew they were wasting our money. They knew that they were shipping money across the world for things that didn't make sense, didn't advance U.S. policy, didn't help keep us safe in any way. But when you think of the layers that you could go down on this, of how egregious the use of this money in Gaza could be, it's even more disheartening and disgusting. And that's why the work is so important to uncover these things. I know that this is just the first of many, but also it brings up other questions of corruption within the federal government over the last 4 years. Everyone knows that the reporting on the paper trails of the Biden family was sketchy at best. When it's a $50 million line item for one specific non-essential need in a war zone of a population of 2.1 million people, many of those children, it brings up so many questions of who lobbied for that. Who got that in a budget and got that approved? Who profited off of your taxpayer dollars for something like this? And I think that's the next layer of DOGE and the Office of Management and Budget at the White House, of finding out what's really going on in the swamp and fix it.
Yeah, and what humanitarian even means. Because I don't think there's anyone in our listener base who thought, when you heard the words humanitarian aid, that this is what you were funding. You thought maybe you were funding food and clothing or water, clean drinking water. But no, that's not where they go. They go from spending $50 million of your money, by the way, again, taxpayer money, that went to, on the surface level, let's just say, basic birth control devices for men in Gaza. But the truth is, and what we know, because this has been since 2017, and as frequently as 2020 and so on, that these are used predominantly or very often to carry IEDs into Israel. And that's been over schoolyards. That's been over a lot of different places where this has happened. You can see pictures of it, by the way. Go online. You can find them. It's not like this is some hidden secret agenda. This is what's happening. And I am very happy that the DOGE department has been able to quickly find these things, because it is not what the compassionate, caring American people want. Even those that want to fund humanitarian aid in Gaza, I assume this is not what you're thinking your money is going to. I know a lot of you probably do not at all, but when you hear this, it's got to make you go, this is why we're putting in these kind of stops and these kind of checks, because this is what's happening. This is where, as she said, a preposterous waste of taxpayer money.
And once again, you go back to this and you think, on the surface, best case scenario, they were so incompetent. One, they didn't know what it could be used for by Hamas in many different ways, including floating IEDs into Israel, which it's been documented as far back as 2018.
Let's try to pull up a picture of that, because there are pictures all over. I'm not sure what we can get. Let's try to get that for the next segment.
But if you think about, on the surface, best case scenario, that's how incompetent they were. Worst case scenario, this is probably a very small fraction of a $50 million government grift that someone made a lot of money off of, that is a complete waste of your money, and actually insulting, I feel like, to the entire world that maybe is supportive of Gaza.
Yeah, I think it's insulting to the people of Gaza.
Right.
To the people who are, who have been there, innocent civilians that have been caught in this. This is not the humanitarian aid, I promise you, that they want. You know, they want, like I said, food, water, safety, shelter, maybe, because they're caught in the middle of a war. And it's understandable. But this is not what happens. As Will said, this is a grift. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you in the next segment. We're going to take as many calls as we can. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And obviously, our support of Israel has never been stronger. And if you support Israel the way we do, we encourage you to give and support, because we have ACLJ Jerusalem that is there to make sure that the American point of view is shared with the people of Israel. And it was very important during the Biden administration when it felt like the heat was on. But now you'll have a Trump administration, someone who is much more kind to the Israeli people. And you'll see Benjamin Netanyahu appearing very soon in America. We'll be right back. Go to ACLJ.org and give me a call. Welcome back to Secular. Last segment of the day. It's a great time to hear from you. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. We got a lot of calls on a lot of different topics, but any of them are open to you. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go first to Dimitro, who's calling in Washington, watching on YouTube. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your hard work. I support you and thankful to God for you, your work. So one of the things we voted for President Trump is illegal immigration, issue of illegal immigration and deportation, ICE and all that. But I have a question for my fellow friends from Ukraine and Russia who are war refugees, came here through U4U program, and also who are political refugees who are against of what Russia and Putin's government doing right now in Ukraine. So listening to you, I know a lot about laws and stuff, and I talk to them about all this stuff, but at the same time, they're still very scared and pressured. They don't know what's going to happen. And, they're part of our community. They have work authorizations and everything. They work, they're members of the church. What should I tell them? What can you tell me about their situation?
First, thank you so much for calling. I think this is a perfect call, because a lot of this can get, quote unquote, lost in translation, if you will. You'll see sort of the hype that goes around this. You'll see sort of the negative press that gets spun. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel. Ringo Starr, big Beatles fan, was on last night. I don't usually watch Jimmy Kimmel, but it was on. I was on wanting to see Ringo. And the first thing he did was to try to make sort of a joke and a statement, but the same way, talking about people knocking on the doors and whether they were going to go to Ringo because he was not an American citizen. That obviously gets in the heads of a lot of people. And when you do have something lost in translation with refugees, war refugees from Ukraine or from other areas, we have said we are here to protect those who are genuinely seeking asylum and that are here due to these situations.
Well, and I think that's the biggest problem, that we've been told for 4 years, be scared of conservatives and their dangerous mis, dis, and malinformation. We got to set up a government agency to track this, this Orwellian agency, remember, that was going to be put in place by DHS under Biden to really police and censor the speech of conservatives. The problem here, Dimitro, is you're exactly right. There are a lot of people that have legal status, that are here with work visas, green cards, that are being told by what is supposed to be the bastion of truth in the United States, these legacy outlets. They are reporting every single day about how scared individuals like the ones you're talking about, the refugees from Ukraine that are here, that have sought asylum or refugee status. We mentioned this earlier in the show. There is a legal and proper and appropriate way to welcome those people into our country. It's that they set up the CBP1 app for people coming across the border to claim asylum from these migrant caravans coming up that were abusing the system. That harms individuals like the ones that you're speaking about, Dimitrio, because they are here for a legitimate purpose and have been granted a status. But now the media is rushing, not saying in an op-ed, oh, this is what Trump is going to do. They're reporting and making it seem like they're not pushing a narrative by saying, look at how frightened people with papers and status and green cards are across the country. They're exacerbating the fear in these communities. And that is very wrong. That is a malpractice of journalism. That's an abuse of power by these outlets because they are stoking fear that should be unfounded. If you read the executive orders, if you listen to what is happening from the podium, where even Carolyn Leavitt responds to say, if you crossed here illegally, you have committed a crime. That is who will be sought after by ICE. Not people that are here with a valid visa, with a valid work permit, with a valid refugee or asylum status. And it's really tragic that people are living in fear, not because of President Trump, although that's what the mainstream media wants you to believe, but because of the mainstream media and Democrats on all of these panels that were asking questions of Kristi Noem and everyone trying to stoke an unfounded fear in people that are here that were already fleeing something that they were genuinely terrified, war zone, political persecution.
So Demetra, we encourage you to share all of that with your friends in your community. And look, we do not... here at the ACLJ, we're not promoting some wild idea of deporting a bunch of people who are here seeking asylum or are here for real reasons, have come to America. We've called for years for immigration reform. And the problem is when it doesn't happen, this is what happens. And when you have a loose administration, it gets worse and worse. So what I hope is that we can encourage more people to share that message. And again, pray for people in your community, because if they are feeling that way, you want to make sure that they feel safe. Specifically people who are here legally, who are maybe being fed, as Will said, fed lies. Let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming, who's watching on ACLJ.org, which you should. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like, I want to know your opinion of what the mainstream media's stance or dance is going to be now that President Trump informed the nation during the debates about what's going on in Colorado.
I think, Bill, I think they are going to ignore the majority of it. I think you'll see articles pop up, but I think you'll see more of the negative spin, the spin that people like Demetra are hearing about. You're not going to hear a lot of these stories covered. Now, for the next week, they're probably going to be covering a lot of the confirmation hearings and that, but I think unless they catch someone who is, did you have to make it front page story, if you will, or the number one story, they're going to pretend it's not happening.
I mean, the New York Times already showed their hand on this when after the executive order on labeling the cartels as terrorist organizations, they wrote a headline, how labeling cartels terrorists could hurt the U.S. economy. I assume what's probably coming here is that ICE rounds up migrant who was just seeking affordable housing by taking over an apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado. I mean, that's only the next logical step, Logan. I don't know what else they would decide to all of a sudden change their tune, but that's probably the fact. They're going to spin this as somehow that the gang leader is a victim.
All right, let's take the last call of the day. Kathy in Kentucky watching on YouTube. Kathy, I think you got a great statement to wrap us up.
President Trump was elected as a direct result of prayer, and he is going to get the nominees he needs on that cabinet with prayer as well. That's been essential. Thank you for taking my call.
Kathy, thank you so much for calling. As we said, I agree with you. The prayer is very powerful. It is something that, it's all in God's hands, and we know that. But tomorrow, obviously, our friend, our colleague, Tulsi Gabbard, goes up for what will be a very intense confirmation hearing, and one that is certainly not a guarantee right now. So I encourage you to tell your friends, call your representatives, let them know that you support Tulsi, who again has not only been a friend of the show, but has been a colleague over the last few years, as someone we've gotten to know personally and is a great person. Remember what she did just a few months ago for North Carolina and the relief efforts that her organization did, her nonprofit did for Maui and then for North Carolina. When the federal government and FEMA, we know what was going on there, okay? But Tulsi showed up. There is a petition right now at ACLJ.org to support confirming Tulsi Gabbard. This is a deep state attack. There's nothing to say on Tulsi, and we need to make sure we are there for her as much as we can. So like I said, sign that petition and say a prayer. I think it's very important. Thank you so much for joining us today. I encourage you, while you're there, signing that petition, if you can. If you like this show, we're not supported by big corporate sponsors or anything like that. It's from, to steal one from PBS, from viewers like you. So right now, I encourage you to go to aclj.org, make that donation, support our work. We got so much going on this year, and I want you to be a part of it. Join us in the fight. Talk to you tomorrow.